Everybody, this is October 3rd, 2019. This is our third call in the opening series, and we're going to begin as we always do in Shavasana. So find a comfortable place where you can lie down, ideally. If you're not in a place where you can lie down, then find a spot where you can be seated in meditation. And if you're driving, please pull over. Don't do this while you're driving, all right? Let there be space around you. Notice if you're bumping into walls or furniture or clutter or mental clutter. How is it that you can create spaciousness? Lying on your back, make sure there's support beneath the head as needed so that the chin is lower than the forehead or at least level with it. That lets the mind become quiet. Make sure the support touches the shoulders. When it does so, Shavasana goes deeper, more quickly, and more easily and more fully. Bend the knees and then take the flesh of the buttocks, use the hands, take the flesh of the buttocks toward the heels and make space through the low back. All these adjustments are designed to allow us to be comfortable, to be at ease, and to allow the mind to become quiet. Then extend one leg out and then the other. Let the baby toes drop to the floor. The rest of the toes follow. And feel that the legs are relaxed and at ease. If there's any sensation in the low back, place support of a rolled blanket beneath the upper thighs, or beneath the thighs, or perhaps place the calves on a couch or a chair, someplace where the calves can be level and the calves are fully supported right from the knee all the way through to the ankles at least. And make sure that your feet, however your legs are positioned, are not bumping into a wall or the back of the couch or whatever it is. And make sure that there's a margin of support, of space all the way around you. So don't have the hand, half an inch away from a wall. Because what happens energetically is we don't even know we're doing it, but we shrink away from it and we're training ourselves to shrink into ourselves. We want to train the opposite. Give yourself space. Then bend the elbows, lift and open the heart center. So dig the elbows into the floor, lift and open the heart center, and then release the arms to the floor. The arms are about 30 degrees away from the body. Let the arms rest. Softly close the eyes. And now scan the body for any tension. With eyes closed, just internally scan the body for any tension. And where you find tension, breathe into that spot and let it go. Just let everything go. Whatever became before this moment, it's in the past, it's already gone. No need to pay attention to it. Let it go. Whatever's coming in the future, it's not here yet. And when it's here, it will be another present moment. If we're not present in this moment, unlikely we will be present in that future moment. Can you stay here with this moment of this breath? It's a training, a deep training of focused and so much more. Allowing the mind to be one-pointed, focused only here and now, with this movement of this breath. We choose the breath as a tool because it's always with us. It's right there. And it's really kind of boring. There's nothing big going on with it. Can I stay here with the breath and not be distracted by other thoughts, sounds, sensations? I train my mind. I train my focus. Just this movement of this breath here and now. Now, as you're watching the breath, can you notice the subtle desire to change the breath somehow? Make it be better, make it be more than it is, make it be right. Has that started happening? Did it start happening and you didn't notice? Can you notice that pull of wanting to fix it, change it, make it better? Can't serve people if we need to fix them and we don't let them step forward first. Have to be okay sitting with what is. Can you watch the breath, see how it is, and not need to change it in any way at all? Just notice, is it ragged or smooth right now? Is it deep or shallow? How's the breath feel today, this moment? Are you letting yourself fully exhale, or does the inhalation start even before the exhalation is complete? What's actually happening with the breath? Be curious about it, like with the curiosity of a child. Watch the breath. Can you watch without needing to change? And then observe that subtle difference, not needing to change, not making anything change, but by the very attention to it. Because you're observing it, of its own accord, often the breath starts to change. Not you changing it, it changes. Maybe it did today, maybe it didn't. Can you be happy with what is? Just watch the breath and see if any changes are happening. And then I'm going to add one piece of what's called pranayama, yoga breath work. I don't think I've done it in the year and a half we've been doing Shavasana here before. Yoga breath work is built on Shavasana. It's a subtle and powerful source of energy for us. And a very simple tool I used to teach to the kids. You can get it at age 6. We as entrepreneurs sometimes have layers and layers of stuff to get let go of to access this simple teaching. For the next few breaths, inhale through the nostrils and then exhale through pursed lips as though breathing through a straw. Inhaling through the nostrils normally and then exhaling through pursed lips as though breathing through a straw. If any tension arises, throat gets tight, jaw is tight, shoulders are hunched, like any tension arises anywhere, the moment that you notice a tension, immediately just go back to regular breathing. Subtle awareness that we're teaching, training. And if no tension has arisen anywhere, then again, inhaling through the nostrils, exhaling through pursed lips, as though breathing through a straw. And after a few breaths that way, interspersing as many regular breaths as needed so that that complete ease and relaxation stays, even as we start to play with the breath. Just go back to normal breathing. After the next straw breath, exhaling, inhale and exhale through the nostrils again, and just notice if the breath has changed in any way. Without judgment, just see if anything has changed. Allow the breath to deepen. Place the hands on the torso. Feel the breath. Bend the knees. Slowly roll to the right side. Support your upper head. Support your upper head. Support your head with your upper arm. And wait. without a quality of waiting, just be there, not needing to be in Shavasana or completed it, complete with it. Just be on your side. Just be there. Softly open the eyes, keeping the gaze toward the floor. Use the hands to slowly press yourself up to sitting and return to our virtual circle. If your video is off, then turning video on whenever possible, because that training and focus continues through the whole of our call, one pointed attention, not distracted as I am. Actually, I realize right now as I'm putting my jacket on and speaking, we're training the opposite of that. One thing, just one thing. Good to see you, Barb. Great to see you, Tracy. Starting to appear. And Grace, good to see you. And I'd love to hear from one or two of you. Sometimes there's 5,000 things that we didn't like. It makes no difference. It doesn't matter how many things we thought weren't good, that were bugging us, that were nagging our minds or inside of us or whatever was around us. But there's always at least one thing when we pay attention that we love. So what is it that you loved? Dottie, I'm getting a bit of noise from your line. You might have been opening your line to say something. So I just muted you for now. What did you love here? What stays with you? What was beautiful this time? Jasmine, thank you.
So this is actually going to kind of jump ahead into when you asked for wins, because this time is directly related to a huge win I had last time. I ended up leaving early last time because something that you said, actually, I have the exact quote. You were talking about in a sales meeting, when do we feel that sort of anxiety to jump in and sort of fix things? And when you said that, I realized that I don't feel like that at all. When I get into conversations with people, I am so mindful and present and in the moment that I don't feel that. And realizing that I do have instances of being mindful was just a huge, like, mind-blowing experience. I literally wrote paradigm shift, because I always thought of myself, like, my mind, it always feels like a mind map. You say a word and instantly I'm like connecting a million different things. Mm-hmm. And so
anybody else like that? There's one word and then this whole bunch of thoughts cascades. Anybody else notice that? Raise your hand. Just wondering if Jasmine's alone in this, or that bunch of thoughts come from, yeah, from one thought. Okay, yeah. Go ahead.
And so whenever I've done meditation or tried to be mindful, I've always sort of had that, you know, background noise going on. And I've always sort of settled for, I'm a deeply thoughtful person and I'm a deeply reflective person. But a mindset block that I definitely realized that I had last time was that I thought that my default would never be a mindful person. And
I just want to slow you down there for a second, because I want to make sure everyone is hearing this. And even though I call for experiences, and I know this is connected to the experience of Shavasana and that mindfulness, and so I'm letting this run because this is instructive for everybody. Hear the disempowering story in that. We can have disempowering stories about everything is crazy. Yes. And they do their dirty work in the dark. We don't even know they're happening. It sounds like an empowering story for Jasmine. Well, I'm a thoughtful person. I'm a reflective person. I'm just not a mindful person. It sounds really neutral, or maybe even positive, because I know my own qualities. Isn't that nice? And hidden behind that, it reminds me of Steve's last time, the way he introduced himself to people, and it sounds all good, but it's not. It's hiding some stuff that's pulling way in the opposite direction. Thank you. All right. So your default one, not a mindful person. And I'm hearing that a shift has happened.
So yeah. And I had always felt like I, had mindful moments, but I could never really keep them. I could never really stay there. And so you talking about being in conversation and realizing that the experience that you were describing is exactly how I felt, how I feel when I get into conversations with people, like the presentness, that just being in the moment made me realize that I not only am, you know, logically capable of developing a mindset of being mindful, but that I actually have done it before and that it's possible. And so this time in Shavasana, honestly, it always felt really long before when I did it. And I would, you know, go through exactly what you said, but sort of be reflective and be thoughtful and not be mindful. And this time, just with that mindset shift of, I am a thoughtful person in certain situations, even if right now it's something that I'm building towards in order to become more of my default. It allowed me to reach a level of mindfulness that, while I don't think that it is as fully mindful as I can be, was definitely deeper and made it just, I was just surprised when Shavasana was over, honestly, because I was just so in the present moment. And that has never happened to me before, this like big mindset shift of not just being a thoughtful and reflective person, but actually also being a mindful person.
Love this. And Jasmine, will you tell them in like a word or two or maybe a sentence what it is that you do? Because some people here know and some people don't.
Yeah. So I am a work-life balance coach, focusing work-life balance coach mindset.
Oh, right. So you know, you teach people about mindset, and what you're saying is you had a block that was a, you know, one where we can use, we don't use that word as much here, but the mindset block in and around what was even possible for you. And you didn't even know you had that block. But what you were able to do is discover it over here, that I already have that presence over here. Then I transfer that excellence, like transferring excellence, really important thing to do, right? I can do it over here. Now I can do it over here. And the arrows go both ways. And it was really insightful what you said too. It's like, it's not that I've reached the be all and end all of how mindful I can be. I know there's further levels of this, but I've reached a new state. And did you say, Jasmine, because I want us to notice these things, like notice the disempowering story, notice the empowering story. Did you say for the first time ever? Those were your words, right?
Yes, those were my words. For the first time ever, I really honestly felt that.
Not in the last week, not in the last month, not in the last year. You mean in your entire life, this is a breakthrough moment. Because sometimes we slide over these things. It's like, yeah, whatever. First time. And you work with mindset with people. And so transferring that excellence from the conversations, realizing how it works over there, then having a completely different state of mind in Shavasana. And then does it make sense? Who hears that if that happens, that the arrows go both ways? So now that another level of mindfulness is possible in that conversation, which can feed back into Shavasana, which can feed back into that conversation. If you understand that to be true, Jasmine's like completely like, if you understand that, raise your hand. I want to see if you're all tracking on this. Yeah, many of you are hearing that. And some of you not sure yet. And if you're not sure yet, if you heard that or not, it could be because like in a small group meeting that I was in just the other day, sometimes that's because it's the most important training for you. So that's a really important piece. And if you go, geez, I missed it. Everything is falling apart. No, don't worry about it. The recording is there. We'll come back in another angle. And it could sometimes be, maybe that moment wasn't for you. It was deeply for somebody else. That's okay too. So don't worry about it if you didn't hear it. But most of you really heard that. And most of all, I know Jasmine really heard that as she's more mindful over here in this conversation and allows herself to even know that that's a possibility for her, that changed the level of Shavasana that was accessible to her, a deeper level of quietness that then feeds back into those conversations, because we need to be able to hold quiet space for people in order for anything to happen for another human being, instead of like making them do something, holding space. Love it. Thank you. Beautiful. Let's hear one more. So that was a complex experience in and around Shavasana. The place we're at in the call right now is and Grace, you're already there. What did you love this time in your Shavasana? Grace, thank you.
I love the shift in breathing in through our nose and exhaling as through a straw through our mouth. And that shift, that change caused me to pay attention because I wasn't in a routine. It just sort of shifted it created new focus.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Beautiful. Thank you. I love it. I'm so glad you drew attention to that. And I'm pretty sure, I don't remember anyway, ever stepping from Shavasana into pranayama, yoga breath work. It's been over a year and a half now that we've been beginning with Shavasana. I just thought, you guys are ready today. And it's so simple. It's like, whatever, I'm breathing through a straw. But it is life transformative. It is when we lengthen the exhale. So I'm glad you love that. And if you loved it or hated it, it doesn't matter. It's all good, okay? But when we're exhaling through a straw, we're starting to take what is unconscious in us usually, and all the stories are unconscious often too, right? We're starting to take something that is regularly unconscious and make it and put it under conscious control. And let me see, do I want to tell you this? Some part of me goes, don't tell them that. Editor, am I going to tell you? Of course I'm going to tell you, because I can't ask you to do something that I don't do. But my editor's going, don't tell them that. You'll scare them. No, you're not that scarable. All right. I know you're good. Right. But I want to share with you the power of this breath work. And you know, if you think about Western medicine, if something is a powerful medication, sometimes it has powerful side effects, right? Like this medicine does a ton of stuff. Maybe for instance, it saves somebody from cancer and saves their life, but it's a big medication. It's got big side effects, right? As powerful things are happening in the body, sometimes some other unintended side effects happen as well, right? Well, I want you to know how powerful it is to work with the breath. And so my senior teacher, Margot Kitchen, she worked with BKS Iyengar directly for some 30 years. And before she did that, she worked in a different tradition of yoga where she was, that tradition was not at that time as mindful about working with breath work and how we do it. And also, she was not taught by really well-trained teachers. So you get it? It was a tradition that didn't pay attention as much. We need to be trained for at least 6 years before we're even allowed to start teaching breath work. Like in the tradition of yoga that I belong to is serious about our stuff. It's like, take good care of people. You got to know your stuff for at least 6 years before you even teach people to breathe out of a straw, right? But in this other tradition is like, do this intensive breath work immediately with very little training. And so my teacher did that. It was decades ago. And bringing up what's unconscious into something conscious. And it was some intensive and crazy breath work all at once. And it sent her to the hospital, and she was shaking so much. And she had three little kids to take care of, and she couldn't even hold a cup for a couple of months, I think it was. Because in bringing up what was unconscious, it's like this breath work is seriously powerful. That's the thing. And that's why I'm like, don't tell them that, you'll scare them, right? But I've been trained it takes 6 years to get to the first level of assessment. I'm at the third level of assessment. It takes many more years than that. There's a few people in my province that are certified at this level because we take it very seriously, right? And I've taught this to little kids even years ago. It's like, don't worry, we're doing some very gentle work. But I just want you to know, when I'm asking you to do Shavasana at the beginning of your day, there's a lot that gets built on that. And those were the powerful negative effects that happened to her when she was untrained with it. But there are powerful effects that happen. And let me just give you this example. What happens to your breath when you're really anxious about something? Somebody tell me. Y'all know. Just somebody say it other than me. If you say it, you'll remember it better.
You speed up. Your heart goes up. You speed. You take smaller breaths.
Yes. It's like fight or flight. It's like, right. And it's all up here. And it's like, and then the body. And correct? Who's ever been in that state sometime in their life before? Okay. Here's the thing I want to tell you. I didn't know I was going to train you guys on this, but it came from your excellent observations and questions. the arrows, just like with Jasmine, the arrows go both ways. We can find it in the conversation and then find a deeper Shavasana. And then we can find a deeper Shavasana and it's going to create a more powerful conversation, more mindful conversation. The arrows go both ways with the breath as well. If that's our anxious state, and we can be anxious because we walk on stage and the host introduces us, like I've told you that story before, and introduces actually somebody else and then we got to speak, or we're in a strategy session and somebody goes, well, that's a stupid thing. I would never do that. I don't want to work that, or whatever it is, or a joint venture partner goes, why would I do that with you? That's stupid. Somebody else does it better. Like anything that we don't want, we bump into something, or something happens in our lives that we don't want. And that anxiety, that tension comes. And then the breath is like that. Well, the arrows work both ways. When we learn to control the breath, like if the body is tense, then the breath is going to be like that. But if we start to understand how to lengthen the exhalation, for instance, that was a very simple exercise to lengthen the exhalation. We're doing the opposite of that fight or flight mode. And it actually changes the body, changes our response to that situation, and different words are going to emerge. Here we're talking about words and stories because our mind, body, spirit is in a different state. All from that one little training today about, hey, let's breathe through a straw. And I know some people, I used to teach this when I used to teach regular yoga classes, people who love this so much, they carried a straw around with them everywhere. I actually did it. They put it in their car, right? And then they're in traffic and it's like, they're starting to get, you know, lose it, right? And they start breathing actually through a straw. And the kids loved it. And you could change the state of kids, you know, because they're like hyper, but then they're all excited and you can calm them down and allow that. And we all have that kid inside of us, right? So thank you for those fabulous observations about Shavasana. It's another layer of, I cannot teach you all the reasons that we do this in one class or even a day, but through the course of our year, we start to learn who's heard, you know, over the course of the last few weeks, at least one more reason that maybe you didn't know before about why you would want to start your day with Shavasana. If you've learned one thing that maybe you didn't know before, raise your hand, but why you might want to do this. Okay, thank you. Good. All right. Announcements. So thank you. Anything bursting to be said without which we can't go forward. There will always be time, there'll always be space. Ah, there was one. Dottie, go ahead.
I'm going to the doctor after class today because I'm worried about my shortness of breath. And at night, I have these, I guess, anxiety attacks. I'm not really sure what they are, but I just can't go to sleep and my mind is so. Can you just give me an answer to what something that I could do when that happens? Would it be to take the breath and breathe mm-hmm. with perched lips?
That's it. Everything we're learning, like start each day with Shavasana. It's what you do regularly. Let me get your line again. Start each day with Shavasana, as I suggested, for many, many, many reasons, right? And have a straw handy. The one thing I want you to do, though, is if you find any tension in the body, just go back to regular breathing. That's why we practice Shavasana for a long, long time before we start playing with the breath. Because if I'm super anxious and my body is tense and then I try to start breathing out of a straw, it's not going to help me in the way that I want. So just keep practicing Shavasana. Just keep practicing Shavasana. Everything is built on that ability to release the whole body and be at ease. And that is not... but the mind's still focused. In the West, we don't train instead like TV unconsciousness when the body is at ease, right? And the mind is mush, or we're all tense and we think our mind is focused. So we don't have a background in the West around a body at ease, but a mind that is focused. So continue with the practice of Shavasana and know that what we're building on that has a powerful effects that, will help us with our words and our stories and what we speak and how we build our companies and far more beyond that as well, that it changes our lives, which also changes our companies. Makes sense? Does that make sense, Dottie?
Do you have I love your voice. I find it so calming and lovely. Do you have a recording that we can go to, or you suggest that we just go to the beginning recording of every week? And
yes, go to the beginning of like we do it every single week. So, and again, I'm going to mute. So you can go through the recordings that you have and do one, and then the next day do the next one, the next day do the next one. I tell you, people have been asking me to do that recording for years. I've heard that a bazillion times. I just haven't got there yet, right? Because I'm busy building some other things for you, and I know you have other access to that. So thanks for that great question. Maybe I'll build that sometime the next year. We'll see.
I just want to thank you for doing this. I think this is so valuable. So valuable. I don't think I would have signed up and paid this much money for a Shavasana class, but I'm so glad I did.
Thank you, Dottie. And this has to do too, for each of your companies, how do you decorate the door, in front of your company, and what's inside the party? That's not what I tell people. None of you would be here. But is it going to change? Is it going to get you to the things that you wanted? Of course it will. So how you decorate the door, I decorate the door with my talk that's called Stories That Sell. If you want a story that sells, you're going to have to learn how to breathe. Here it is. Because anybody who's speaking from stage and is not breathing, no one will hear them. But again, I don't go there first because the ears need to be ready to hear, and you all have ears ready to hear. If you all understood that, raise your hand. Or if you understood that, raise your hand. It's like, how do I decorate the door? And it's not that they're different in kind. It's just that the ears have to be trained to hear it. My daughter's dad, he's got a degree in physics. And I love what he used to say about this. I used to hear him say it all the time. It's like, when you're studying physics, and I don't have that background in physics, and whether you do or you don't, you'll get this. In physics, he said, like, they learn to ask certain questions. So their first year courses, they ask a certain question, and the students have to learn how to answer that. And then in fourth year university, the difference between first and fourth year university, they're still asking the same questions. The questions, he said, did not change at all. It's just that the eight answers totally changed. Right. So still asking the same question, but ready for a deeper level of answer that talks about more complexities, that understands the more of the nuance of things. And again, inside the party, a lot more can happen. So awesome. Thank you so much. Love that, Dottie. And also, you could go to a class that teaches you yoga nidra or shavasana or whatever, would have no idea why it even matters. And then how does it move the needle for your company? No understanding of that, right? So, but here we can link those two. It's one of the many things we do in the community. So thank you for that, Dottie. Love that. All right. Anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Yeah. And let me just give you one more example of why Shavasana helps too, because we need to be fine with the space. We need to be not rushing everywhere. I know that we're always going to get to where I want us to go, right? These key ideas that I want us to have, not just as head knowledge, but in our bodies. I know we're always going to get there. So we can pause. There can be another comment, because I know we always will get there. And that's an important component of teaching, of speaking, strategy sessions, all the different components of speaking to a new potential client, of serving, and all those levels that we do. So it's another reason to do Shavasana, so we have that ease and spaciousness. All right, let me see. I think, actually, before I talk about announcements, wins, because I just actually was looking at one of you, and I know you've got a colossal win to share. And so who has a win? I'm sure many of you do, but I happen to know, and there's the hand, Lindsay. Thank you. Because we need to have breath in order to be able to accomplish really big things. We have to sometimes take space for something so something's going to move. And I know that that's what happened to you in a big way this week. So thank you for raising your hand. I was waiting for that. I'm like, oh, we got to do wins next.
Okay, well, I'm Lindsay. And it's hard for me to not even just get emotional thinking about it, because that's how crazy fun and exciting the day was. So for those of you that don't know, I am in direct sales. And so the end of the month is a huge time for us. And my company recently underwent some big changes that meant volume that I previously had was now not as worth the same amount as it was before. And so I had achieved a huge rank in my company, had earned my magazine cover, had done all of these things. And then we underwent this comp change, which meant I lost 20% of my volume immediately. So last day of the month.
And Lindsay, it's up to you how much you want to tell them about what that means, but will you, because people don't know, like maybe that's a $5 difference in your, like, will you give them some idea? It's up to you how much you want to tell them about that, but
okay.
So they understand what's at stake here.
Yeah. So the same exact dollar for dollar. I mean, we had the same amount of customers and everything. The previous month was worth over $370,000 in sales. And this month, at the end of the month, we needed to end at 200 and 55,000. So it's still the same amount of sales, but because we weren't getting the same dollar for dollar earnings off of that for points to rank, I lost quite a bit of volume. And so you
lost like the in measured volume over $100,000 worth. Is that what you're saying?
Correct.
Got it. Correct. And now all of a sudden it's the end of the month. And that sounds like, oh, really easy to create a disempowering story. I guess it always ends in tragedy, but that's not what you did.
Right. And so thank goodness for my strategy call. I can say that now. So I remember on Monday, I got on my strategy call with Michelle and I remember
I'm just going to pause you for a second, just because of the language we use in this community. I don't usually call those strategy because I reserve strategy sessions to those people that we're not working with yet. And then otherwise some people might, you know, so we were in a private session, we were in our call, right? And yes, we did strategy in there, but otherwise we'll go, what's the strategy session? And so we were on a call. Okay, got it.
Right. So we were on our private call and I said, Michelle, this was total poor planning on my part. Like I don't know why I scheduled it for today. It's month end. My team's going crazy. We have over $7,800 in volume to still make up today. I'm like, if I don't do that, like I have to get it done. If I don't, like that's almost a $6,000 paycheck loss for me. Like I
watch how she's breathing even as she describes it. Did y'all?
Yeah. Like
that's what was happening. Morning.
Freaking out. And so we did some just incredible things together. The craziest of all, I was like, Michelle, why are you really having me do this? And now I'm like, oh my gosh, it was so worth it. Like we sat down and just talked about the 10 worst things that could happen. You know, say I don't get it, whatever. And we went through all of those things. And when the call was done, I felt so much better about the day. And I just got to it. I got to work. And throughout the day, like every time I would check my volume, it kept changing. And there were still doubts in my mind that this was going to be a tough day, that I was going to have to make some big adjustments if my team and I couldn't get there. And one of those rock stars is on this call. And I appreciate you so much. You just need to know that. But my team pulled it off. They did it. They worked so hard all day. They did over $8,000 in sales.
In a single day.
When they were doubting themselves in the beginning too, you know, they were like, no one's answering me, or my customers aren't replying, or everyone had excuses as to why they didn't think they could win on this day. And I just didn't let excuses take over. Failure was not an option. We were doing it. We were doing it together as a team. And with an hour and a half to go, we were still about $2,700 short of going ambassador. And my team stepped forward. Tracy, bless her soul, got into the team chat and said, you guys, Lindsay is an incredible leader. Look at everything she does for us. Like if everybody just goes and places one order, you know, go buy yourself something, spend $100. If everybody does that, we're there. And the team did it. What was left at the end of the day, they spent their hard-earned money to go buy $100 worth of product between 47 of them. To make sure that our team secured ambassador rank again for the month. So it was incredible and so exciting. I wanted to it was like midnight and I wanted to text Michelle, but I didn't want to wake her. So I was waiting till morning and then I didn't know what time she would be up, but it was very fun to get to text everyone and tell them we did it. And Angela too. Angela's on this call. She's a sideline of mine. She was checking in with me the next day. She knew that it was going to be a push for me, and I was so wrapped up in like who had been supporting me that it was kind of hard to remember who everybody I needed to tell that we did it. And I think too, sometimes people don't want to ask because they're like, if she didn't hit, I don't want to ask her. But we did, and it was amazing. And the team's actually $32,000 ahead already for this month. So
freaking awesome. Yeah. So, so great. I'm so glad we get to be on that call first thing Monday morning. And I remember the way my day started. I believe this is how it started on Tuesday. My phone was beside me. I woke up. I'm like, I texted you something because I was just waiting for the good news. I knew it was going to be good news. I'm like, I want to hear what it was. So freaking awesome. And I love that. And thanks for sharing too. One piece of that was, and we did a deep dive into it, so we can't replicate that here, but you know, what's the worst case scenario? What's the worst thing that will happen? Because we're so worried about that tragedy happening. when that happens, we turn the page, and then what happens? When that happens, we turn the page, and what happens? So really retraining the mind, heart, spirit, brain to know that we're just in the midst of a story, and that it's impossible not to see the beautiful conclusion of it. This is just the middle of it. And also refiguring that day as a day for unbelievable and profound possibility is another piece that we did, right? And so we added some breath to the day from that we didn't talk about that, but that's part of what happened, right? That from that tension, it's related to breathing through a straw, you know, from that tension of like, oh my God, to wow, I wonder what's possible here. And so thank you for that, Lindsay. I love, love, love that. And what I'm going to do too is there's so much that I want to share with you today. Please, who will go start a thread of posting wins on the Facebook forum? Because there's some other stuff that I want to get to. Thank you, Jasmine. Go post your wins there. Tell your stories there. Share with each other. Celebrate with each other. Because this is, I wanted to use this too as the perfect jumping off point for the next announcement that I want to make. So how do we actually, it's what Lindsay just enacted with her team. How do we... called Quantum Leaps, Create Your Future Story. Now, there's all kinds of processes and ways that we can actually do that. And we did like a mini version of that with Lindsay on Monday with those results. How do I create that story and then actually live it? And that is what our half-day retreat is about next week. So make sure that's on your calendar, please. That is a week from today. Starts at the same time, but we go for 4 hours. And Steve, thanks for that question. It's like, how long? Okay, book out 4 hours. And I can't promise you exactly how long it's going to be, but book out 4 hours. Book out the rest of the day if you can. And we'll probably be together. Probably, I'd say at least we'll be together about 4 hours, right? So 12:30 to 4:30 Mountain Time. Translate to your own time zone. Quantum Leaps. Create Your Future Story. And there's one example of a quantum leap, but we're going to take it even larger and broader than that for your company. And so with some very specific techniques of how you create that future story and then actually live it. So thank you for sharing that story, Lindsay. I love it. We can actually craft the story that we then live. We crafted it together Monday morning and then you went and lived that. How beautiful is that? Please make sure it's on your calendar. If you have your, I don't know, favorite niece's wedding that day, just tell her she has to get married a different day. Just please be there, all right? And of course, we'll always record it for you, but if you're able to be there live, it's so much better, all right? And also, there should be an inbox, a survey in your inbox. It's either there or it will be there soon. I don't know if anybody's seen that yet. If it's not there yet, it should be there by, say, tomorrow. Keep an eye out for it, and please carve out time on your calendar to fill out that survey. It's due on Monday so that I have some time to look at it before we're together on Thursday. So make sure you can look for that survey and complete it and take some time over it. It's gonna be a great snapshot for you of where you are, what you want, what matters in your company. So please take the time over the survey. Even if you can't be at, heaven forbid, at Quantum Leaps Live, fill out the survey anyway, and I'll have you in mind too. I already know what we're doing over there, but also it's always constructed by exactly what you tell me that influences how I present that and what we exactly we do that can land best for you. So please make sure you do that. Complete the survey. Okay. Let me see. Anything bursting to be said without which we cannot go forward? Yeah, so yeah, go ahead, Tracy, go. Oh yeah, perfect person to hear from after Lindsay, because I know you were involved with this massive and beautiful dance that was Monday. Tracy, go ahead.
So mine's a little bit different, but I feel like I had a win this week. I've been talking with Marie a little bit about my journey into retirement and leaving the post office and stuff. And I found out this week that one of the two people that sabotaged me, maybe saved me, into retiring.
I like that little piece that you added there.
So one of those two people got the same treatment that I did by the other person, by the mean girl. She also tried to, I guess I was thinking, and I had never really said it out loud that I was at fault for getting in trouble. And when I talked to Marie, you know, we talked about, yes, I knew it was wrong, what I was doing, but I wasn't hurting anyone. And anyway, when we was doing the Shavasana, I heard you say, let it go. And that made me think about, you know, I've been trying to work on, I've been trying to start journaling a little bit and trying to let it go, trying to let go of that anger, why I even care what they think, you know. Mm-hmm. I went on Facebook and I unblocked all of them because I hope they see my journey. I hope they see how much better my journey has been. So anyway, that's kind of what I've been doing this week.
Tracy, oh my goodness. We could spend the whole rest of not just this call, but the day on what you just said. Did y'all get that? There's a reason that we have an entire series called the Letting Go series beyond the scope of the 1 minute of response that I'm going to say here, right? It's a whole series. But couple things I want to say about that. Number one, I remember reading Jack Canfield's Success Principles years ago, and it's not the only place I've heard it, but it's such an important part of an empowering story. If it's somebody else's fault, if somebody else is in the driver's seat, I don't get to own my own story. And so I remember reading that years ago. He's like, the foundation of the Success Principles, I'm 100% responsible. And it feels really awful. It's like, what do you mean? That person did that and that person did that. And don't you know what happened to me when I was little? And Michelle, are you not paying attention? And? But when I'm 100% responsible, it also means that I get to chart my own course. Because if it's somebody else who did it to me, and it does, I'm not saying the stuff doesn't happen. Believe me, I get that stuff happens, right? But if it's somebody else in the driver's seat, then I never get to chart my own course. I can't create my own company. I can't create my own life. And when and we do that in, like, I love what you said, Tracy. We do that in small ways too. And Steve, I'm just going to mute you because there's a bit of sound from your line. So, oh goodness, I just did weird things to my screen. There we go. So I wasn't hurting anyone. It's all okay. There's something of wanting to pull away from that experience, right? But then as you, it's just like, well, no, I'm letting go of all of it, the hurt or the blame or the, you know, what happened or the, and also something of a trust in the universe I'm hearing too. Living life as a reverse paranoid. The universe conspires to support me. Like sometimes we want retribution for that awful person who did that or whatever. It's like, universe has its way of sorting everything out. It's not up to me. I don't need to do anything about that. That's like out of my hands. The depth of just letting go. And if we don't think that letting go is an important part of an empowering story, think of Star Wars and Luke Skywalker. If he doesn't let go of living on the farm, he's never going to go off on the adventure and save the galaxy. it's in every single empowering story. A deep letting go of what is, of my assumed ways of being, of how I breathe, of all kinds of things, right? And so I love that the ease that you found. I love the unblocking on Facebook. I love the breath that comes in through all that. This is beautiful. This is, and how long would you say, how long ago was that all that happened, Tracy? What's the time frame we're talking about?
It happened in like January, this last. December.
Yeah. Okay. So that means that it's not quite 10 months. For 10 months, some part of you has been hanging on.
Yeah.
All that, and we can just say it. We'll just like go, but when it, how does it actually happen? And then when that happens, what energy is released for your work, for what you want to do, for the, you know, all the people that you're meant to serve, for the fun that you're meant to have, all those things. Freaking awesome. Thank you for that. I love it. Yes. Okay. Anything bursting to be said? One last time, without which we can't go forward.
I was struck by the, in order to fly from one trapeze to the other, you got to let go of the one you're holding on to.
Yes, thank you. I'm going to fly to the other end, but I'm just going to hang on. Ooh, it hurts, right? How do you can't reach? Got to let it go. Thank you. Love it. Yes. Okay, a couple of questions on the table that I want to address first. And just note, I did find your questions, Mary Kay, that had been accidentally posted over there in practical applications, maybe because it was practical applications material. But just a reminder, if you'll always post it over in Love Your Words, only post in practical applications when we're in the midst of that series. But I'm still trying to look in case it gets placed over there, and I did find it. So post your questions over in the Love Your Words, Love Your Life portion of our Story Freedom Academy. If you're not sure how to do that, do not suffer in silence. Ask Amy, ask Emily, ask on the Facebook page, because somebody will know. Don't suffer in silence. Make sure you know how to post questions. Go over to the orientation, which shows you how to do that. We've got an orientation that it has been posted now in Story Freedom Academy as well. So make sure you know how to post questions. So a couple of great questions from Mary Kay, and I want to dive into those right now. So Mary Kay says, in your 7-minute talk, and how many of you know that I have a 4 and a 7 minute talk posted over in Practical Applications that you can go and take a look at? Just want to make sure that as we're saying things, okay, so if you didn't know, it took much of the summer to craft those. They are highly crafted pieces. I don't suggest that you start with a short talk, start with a longer talk, much easier. But if you want to observe a couple of highly, highly crafted pieces, the 4 and the 7 minute talk that I did this summer are both posted in Practical Applications. So Mary Kay is referencing that. She says, in your 7-minute talk, what do the people have to do in order to get anatomy of an empowering story? I think you said something about clicking on a box. What's the easiest thing for them to do and remember to do? I will tell you, don't do what I had to do there. What I had to do there was designed by the host and not me. And they said, we are not allowed to collect our own leads, that they as host would collect the leads for us and then hand them to us. The reason they wanted to do that is because it was very highly structured. And if anybody broke the rules, they didn't get any of the leads, because it was a very fixed time that it had to fit in the program and very fixed ways that they wanted to do it. So I had to play by their rules. And that's why I did it that way. But I wouldn't, you know, so that they had ticky boxes and they just told people, if you want Michelle's gift, click, you know, check here. So you can see me saying that at the end of the talk very clearly. And I say it more than once, click, check here, check here. In order to send them in the way that I had to, over to Anatomy of an Empowering Story. But I suggest you do it a much easier way than that. And it depends the size of audience. It depends on where you're speaking. If you're just beginning, you can, I know people I've done this myself and others in the industry, you can, very simple. It's like, hey, would you like my free gift? Put your name here. Like, throw around a piece of paper. It can be that simple. Right? And it says at the top, so you've got their permission. Yes, I would like to receive your Anatomy of an Empowering Story, whatever your gift is. I understand it will be in my inbox, and that I will receive, you know, other interesting information, et cetera, you know, and that you can, I know that I can unenroll anytime. So then you have their written permission and you keep that piece of paper. All right. So that people know you're not spamming them. And it can be a stay connected form. And I can't remember if we posted that over in Practical Applications or not. But for instance, Carly, when I was speaking at your chapter, I handed out a stay connected form, right? So speaking at Carly runs eWomen in Las Vegas, is a managing director in Las Vegas for eWomen Network. And so I just handed out a form that said, hey, and just gave them little ticky boxes, you know, would you like anatomy? Yes. Would you like a strategy session with Michelle? Yes. You know, and they could check them off, and then just a place for their name and contact information. So you can go as high or low tech as you want. The means for doing so is not as important as just like whatever, you know, is an easy way for them to say yes and to make sure that you have written permission from them to send them stuff. Does that address the question, Mary Kay? Yeah, good. Okay. So another question from Mary Kay. She says, is your storyboard in Practical Applications the outline for introducing people to your work? I think you used it for your 4 and 7 minute talks and your ebook, Anatomy. How else do you use your storyboard? Working on my storyboard is really helping me define, organize, and explain what I do. Who knows what she's talking about when she's saying storyboard? Raise your hand. I bet many of you don't. Okay, perfect. Yay. Okay, so let me show you what she's talking about. Because there are so many resources for you over in Story Freedom Academy. So let me share my screen here. Okay. Oh, this isn't even the one. Okay, so over in Practical Applications, this is Practical Applications. Now, there's a pile of training and resources. You all have access to this, right? And handouts. And she's talking about something that came in module 3, 10 keys to make $10,000 plus from speaking, even when you can't sell. There's a whole training there. And then there's Michelle's storyboard. And that storyboard looks like this. And this is the outline for my talk. Now, I want to tell you, so you guys can all access that over there in practical applications, all right? I hope you can see, maybe if I make my screen bigger, you can see all of it. Yes, okay. So I did not make this storyboard. That's the important thing that I want to tell you about it. I didn't have any ambition to create a storyboard. This came from a talk, you can, my Stories That Sell talk that I gave when I was in Victoria in May 2018. It's the same talk that brought you here, Lindsay, right? It's like that was the beginning of your journey here, for example, right? So, and in a different forum, I was interviewed, and that's how you came here, Barb. But the same points were in that interview, all right? So this came from Victoria. I was speaking to an audience of about 50 people, and oh yeah, it's right there in the corner, May 8th, 2018. There was a woman in the audience who did these storyboards. The thing that I want to underline about this, and there's a whole training about it over in practical applications, but the thing I want to underline about this is the main points of the talk were that clear that she didn't know me, had never heard the talk, and she could write this up. Because she knew exactly what the most important points were. All the most important points that I had in my notes ended up on the board, and she didn't know me. She only heard the talk once, and she could create this board, right? How and why I do all these things, I don't want to repeat that training. It's over there in practical applications. But what your main piece is, you don't have to have 5,000 talks and you adjust it everywhere you go. And this is the one talk. I now have a number of talks that I give, but that only started. I was in this creation mode over the last year, but for a number of years, this is the only talk that I gave everywhere. And it's still my foundational talk so that you perfect it instead of like changing your story everywhere. And this is the same thing that I teach in anatomy. It's the same thing that I teach in Stories That Sell talk. When I'm interviewed, I'm being interviewed an hour after this call to a group. I've got to go look it up. I don't remember the details of, you know, her people in her group. I got to quickly go find out so that I can have a little bit that addresses her audience, right? But what I'm going to end up saying is this. And what I said in the 4 and the 7 minute talk was just point number one, stories are everywhere. When people understand that stories are everywhere in a really deep and embodied way, it changes the world. You guys all understand this or you wouldn't be here. That the stories we tell in the ones inside us, for example, the ones that we're speaking, that if there is, and then she got it, nowhere outside story, it changes the stories inside you. She understood those points from that. And so whether you decide to make up your own storyboard or this is a basic structure of a talk and it does not have to be rocket science. In fact, I would not put that out in the world. I share it with you, but it is not for you to share out there in the world because somebody looked at that, it's like, yeah, that's obvious, whatever. But not when I'm giving the talk, not when it's understood in the bones, not when people understand why all these pieces matter. Everything that looks too simple, but that's a talk where I've given that talk many, many times where I am not allowed to sell anything. And it's just a 20-minute talk. And that talk makes regularly 10 or 20 or 30 or 40 or $50,000 and more just from that simple a structure. All right. So go over, if you have more questions about that, you can go over to the training and practical applications. Much of the training is probably in that call and then the call afterwards. I'm sometimes like one call behind, but the training is there. And then go ahead and ask a follow-up question. So I don't use a storyboard at all. And in fact, I wouldn't share it with anybody, but I'm sharing it with you guys as a training piece. Okay. Does that answer that, Mary Kay? It's really good. You need to know solidly what you're doing and less is more. Often we try to do too complex things. I was helping somebody with a talk on video and she wanted to do some of the intricacies of, you know, f-stop, whatever. I didn't even know what she was talking about. I'm like, what's the top of mind problem about, you know, people don't wake up and go, I need to do videos. But they wake up, their top of mind problem, they wake up and they go, I wish that I could clone myself because I'm so darn busy. Well, video allows you to clone yourself, allows you to replicate yourself. So we went in with their top of mind problem. And how does it do that? Here's point one, here's point two, here's point three. If you want to know like some point about how to actually do that so it'll work, come and talk to me. A very, very simple structure. And there is a structure for a talk in your field that's just like that. You can go over to the training, practical applications. You can ask me about that. Speaking is important for everybody Because even if we're speaking to an audience of two people, and we might use bits and pieces of it when we're networking, we need to know the difference between when we're networking, when we're speaking, all that's over there in practical applications. And we're doing a new fresh version of practical applications coming up in December as well. So, but you can access all of that training already. The recorded version, we'll do it live again in December. Helpful, Mary Kay? I loved your questions. Helpful?
Yes, very. That storyboard is just, it's less is more, and it takes it right down. It's helping me really define the beginnings, the decorating the door.
Mm-hmm. It's a great thing to do. What is your, I didn't create the storyboard, but I created exactly what's on it. She turned it into a nice picture version, right? So that's a foundational thing to do. And then when you know what your core teachings are, they're going to be spun out in all kinds of different ways when you're networking or whatever it is, right? Yeah, Carly, go ahead.
I actually create these kinds of storyboards for my clients in my first visioning session that I do with them to try to help that transition of their words to architectural form. So I kind of start with creating some icons and elements from qualitative and then, you know, transition it from there. But
oh, I love that. And that's so appropriate for your field too, as an architect. Of course, like to translate ideas and words into something that's visual and spatial. Perfect. Love that. Thank you. Okay. So we're going to go on from the questions, and I want to kind of gather the energy of where we've been in this opening series. And so from call number one, we talked about Harry Potter's lucky potions, one of the things we talked about, right? Call number two, we talked about Alex Mendozian and Maxwell Maltz. If you don't remember that, go back to those calls, right? But the lucky potion, it's like, there are moments where we know we're guided, where there's something higher, where we're not alone, where we can tap into something more, that it doesn't have to be so hard. That's part of the essence of what call number one was about. And I wanted to share something with you. Let me see if I can find it really quickly. Yeah, I was just looking at some notes. I'm like, oh. Yeah. Let me see. This is how Stuart Wilde puts it, and it's kind of in the energy of our call number one, just to kind of recall where we were. We can have the, if we don't have the energy of the universe behind us on our side, kind of like when I grabbed my father's wallet, nobody else knew where it was. How did that even happen? And you shared stories about things like that too. This is what Stuart Wilde says on the illogical. He says, beyond logic and facts and all of our accumulated scientific knowledge, there's the power of spirit, which is often illogical. Things happen that are wonderful and unexpected and that come from nowhere. It's pointless to try to work them out. Each event is a manifestation of your energy, the outward expressions of your feelings that you get to experience and enjoy. It's the energy of spirit responding to what you are and what you've become. Who needs logic to be a part of that? You just need energy. And like I said in call number one, it would be remiss if I didn't talk about this part of creating an empowering story. It's part of every empowering story that I know of. There's something bigger that's afoot. There's something bigger that's happening. And otherwise, it's like we're trying to push a boulder uphill. What if we could just let it be easy? Lindsay could not logically find her way to making that Monday work. You can't reason it out, and yet it happened, right? It's got to come from somewhere higher, somewhere bigger, something of the magic. That's what that first call was about. The second call, we started talking about, well, how do we put that into action, an inspired action? And again, we can't repeat the whole call in just a few minutes. But I talked about Alex Mendozian and Maxwell Maltz. So Alex Mendozian is like, well, you know, only thing worse than going in the wrong direction is going in the wrong direction enthusiastically. And Maxwell Maltz says, well, yeah, but the universe can't, you know, we got to be in motion. The universe can't course correct if we're standing still. So what are we supposed to do, and how do we create inspired action? And so I wanted to just point you to, because there's another training piece that I want to do briefly here today. So I don't want to go into detail in and around this, but I do want to share my screen. Let me see, do I have the right page? Yes, I do. Okay, so this is also over in Story Freedom Academy. Again, so many resources there for you. Hopefully I can get the right. Which page is it? This is the one. I think this is the one. I hope I got the right one here. Yes, here it is. So this, you can find this one. Inspired Action Blueprint, that's over there in resources. This is our resources page. So I just clicked on this to find it, which is over here in additional resources under Love Your Words, Love Your Life. There's so many resources there for you. We just pulled out one of them, which is the Inspired Action Blueprint. And I want you to know that we follow this every single time we have a call. I just want to point out step number one, gather your energy. Do whatever it takes to create the best energy you can in the moment so that you can take inspired action. This step is crucial. It's the foundation for everything. Don't skip it. And one of the things I could say about what happened with Lindsay is we did, and does this make sense to you, Lindsay? We did a deep dive into exactly that in very specific ways Monday morning, without which none of that inspired action could have happened. Am I right about that, Lindsay? Of course we did. Yes, right? And then create the vision. Actually, we did that too. We could go through all of Lindsay's days. We did all of these things actually. Without, and we don't always know that we're doing it. And sometimes we're doing more in one area than another. But if we drop off any of these, find a mentor. Sometimes we're gonna do that. Like I say, if we're trying to do downward dog, we're trying to do the pose downward dog and we have no idea what it looks like. We can't get there from there. But maybe we've already done it 5,000 times with our mentor and you're in a yoga class and the teacher just says, okay, do downward dog. Well, there's the mentor pointing you to what to do. It's happened in a second there. Sometimes this is a huge part of it. If you've got, all of you did this as you leapt into this community and it was a big piece of that inspired action, right? But as far as I know, every time we're doing something that's leading us in a path that works for us, we're doing all these things. There's the create an actionable plan. And Lindsay, is okay if I keep using the example of what happened Monday? They don't know all the details of it, but it's like, okay, I'm going to hang up the phone and I'm going to get in touch with my team. And we're going to do this together. It might not have had all the details about it yet, right? Chunk it down. We heard some of her talking about this. Everyone is going to spend $100, right? The calendaring, put it on the, so each one of these, if we miss one of these, probably something is not going to work so well. And I had a lot of unconscious competence about all of this. And then I started realizing all the pieces that I was doing. So put it on the calendar. And sometimes the calendar is right away. It's like, okay, with Lindsay, and I don't know exactly how it transpired, but I'm going to imagine it. And, you know, sorry if some of the details are wrong, but okay, it is 11:37 at night and we got to hit this by midnight. When should we put it on the calendar? Everybody go now. She put it on the calendar, even though it was right then. When are you going to go do it downward dog? Now. Sometimes it's, I've got three trips that I'm going to be taking in the year. And we are at about 95% certain that they're going to be happening. But until they're on the calendar, they're not actually going to happen. One of them just got into the calendar last week. All right. What's your best next step? Celebrate. People often end up skipping that one. If Lindsay's not celebrating like crazy right now, if Tracy's not celebrating like crazy, it's like, why should the universe send you more? Analyze the results. What worked? What didn't? What needs tweaking? I'll tell you, let me give you an example of this. Oh, share. Share what's happening with the dream enablers. After Story Freedom, the team got together. We all went out for dinner and shared for hours. What did you love? And what did you love? And do you remember? And that's, and then that person said that. And do you remember? And how you saw their eyes. And I love when that, we just like, we celebrated and we shared, right? Analyze the results. The team has already met like tons about Story Freedom. We're meeting, it just so happens. Let me give you an example. For 2.5 hours next Tuesday, analyzing the results. We're sending out the people who are on the team a survey so that next time around as we do Story Freedom, like we loved everything that happened to Story Freedom. There's always things we can do better, can do better, can do better, and then go and do it again, right? So I just wanted to walk you through whether we're doing something as simple as Downward Dog or planning a 3-day event. All those pieces ought to be in there. You can use it as a kind of check. Is there a piece that I'm missing? Something's not working. Go and check and see what's there. And Steve, you unmuted. Is that something you want to ask?
Yeah, I wanted to ask a couple of questions about that.
Yeah, you go for it. And let me just put that. Now, let me see.
If you put that back up.
Yeah, for sure. Which piece? Is it above or here?
So, there's a question on the first page and a question on the second page.
Sure. Yeah, go for it.
On the first page, it says create your vision. And that looks to me like it's a grand and glorious thing, but you're saying we can do this on a specific project or for a specific activity that we're entering into. It doesn't have to be our personal bucket list of the things, the 10 things that we want to accomplish before we die.
It doesn't have to look like this, no. So okay. I'm giving you just three lines.
It can scale to the particular activity. Like Lindsay wasn't trying to, solve world hunger. She was trying to hit a very specific goal. And so okay. She didn't have to do, she had a vision about that particular goal, but not about her entire bucket list.
Right. So yes. So how that, and I just wanted to give something there so anybody could get started, even just reading this right away, but there's way more to it than this. And let me do a bit of a, it's not a spoiler. It's a heads up. Quantum Leap's Create Your Future story is going to have components that will help us understand this point too in a much bigger way with that 4-hour training next week. All right.
Okay. Good.
And one more piece that I want to underline for everyone here. So create your vision could be as simple again as downward dog. The teacher does it. Oh, my body's supposed to look like there. There's my vision. I go do it. It could be that immediate, or it could be like a week long a week long envisioning process that I did with one of my accountability partners 2 years ago. And some things that we're doing right now in the community have to do with that vision that was set in that week long dreaming time and envisioning and piecing things out for the company and my life at that time. So it can be as small or as big as you want it to be, that part.
Okay. And then the other one, you have put it on the calendar, and then you have what's the best next step. And I wonder, so the calendar thing here is about the chunks that you've created in step 6, which are intermediate goals, not next steps.
Yeah. So here's the idea behind those two. If I have an idea, the chunk of down piece of many years ago, when I was still in academia, I said, I would really like to teach, yoga and words and writing in the mountains. I'd never done anything like that before remotely. I was busy teaching in university classrooms, right? And my friend said, well, okay, Michelle, what are you doing today to make that happen? And if there's a dream, but if nothing had happened, well, and I know that you know this from your own field too, right? That then I have to have some idea of what those things are. And then I haven't, each one of these could be a day or a week long training, but these pieces, I just want us all to know that these pieces have to be in there, or I don't know how things happen, but put it on your calendar. Let me give you another example. There's one of those week long things I know is happening for me in February, has been in the works since April. And I was waiting on somebody else that I'm doing this with. And it's like, are we doing it? Are we doing it? Are we doing it? And finally, actually, her process of decision was she flipped a coin and we're going away for a week. And now it's on the calendar and done, and it is going to happen. And if that step hadn't happened, even though it was a really great idea, those pieces have to go down on the calendar, because the calendar will tell us what really matters to us. It's like, oh, it was a great idea, but it's a great idea for me to practice Shavasana every morning. But if I don't have a chunk of space of time where it's on my calendar, and what I'm actually doing instead is practicing anxious breathing or whatever it is, nothing will ever move. And I know that some of those pieces you would already know, but some of them I'm also outlining a little bit further for people so that it's making sense. Am I making sense here, Steve?
Yeah. Okay. It's just for me, the thing that I put on my calendar is the best next step, not the other stuff to chunk it down.
And I'm not so worried right now about whether you're hearing how this goes with that. It's like,
okay,
don't miss any of these pieces. If any of these pieces are missing, something's missing.
All right. Great. Thank you.
Did that answer your questions? That did it? Okay. Yeah, you're welcome. Okay. Let me see. So that's where we've been. So how do we first know that there's something so much larger? It's in every single empowering story. And then how do we actually take this, having the wind at our back and actually turn it into something that produces not like chicken with our heads cut off running around, but inspired action that creates, results that helps get us to where we want to go. And again, that how those work together will be understood even much more clearly once we do our 4-hour virtual retreat next week, Quantum Leaves, Create Your Future Story. The piece that I want to do now, let me see. We're at 1:47 at my house. I think what I might do, give me one second here. One second, because sometimes what we want to do, if we don't, it's like the consolidation call we did at Story Freedom. If we don't consolidate and draw the threads together, then we can't go forward to the next thing. And there was a lot here in and around the Inspired Action Blueprint and so on. So I think what I want to do is the content that we would have, and it's sometimes my practice. There's content here, but we actually will get to it on the next call. But don't worry, we always get there. All right. So I want to start out with the content that would be today, and then we'll finish that up again next time. Same thing we did with the Inspired Action Blueprint today. So, and that's about transmutation. We did a piece of this at Story Freedom, but we're going to do a much deeper dive here. So the title for today, but a lot of the content will be for next time, Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold. How to, oh, actually, that's not the right, wait, that's not the right title. Where is it? Where did I put my title? It's right here. Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold. Discover the core values of your business. Right. And it's because I had an older version of the title, and both of them are true at once. So you could use the old version if you want. It's like Transmuting Inner Dirt to Inner Gold, How to Overcome Obstacles and Find Your Mission with Ease. Both titles are correct. You can use either one you choose. So I want to just set us up for next time with the opening of that content. And here's what I want to say. So you all know what the editor is. In the language of our campus, it's like, that's that voice inside of us that's not our best friend, that if it were a person sitting beside us, we would kick them out of our life, you know? But it doesn't always come, like, it's like, oh, that's a stupid idea. Oh, why did you say that? Oh, you know, that's a, don't do that. That's not gonna, you know, blah, blah, blah. Thanks for sharing. That voice. But I want to say that that voice, sometimes people call it the inner critic or whatever it is. I'm like, it comes in the strangest form. So one of our alumni, she said, Michelle, my editor's, one of my, the common forms of my editor is like my latest great idea. It's like, it hides there, you know? Like, and you would think, well, isn't the latest great idea always good? But that would be like saying to Jasmine, well, isn't it good that you know yourself to be, you know, what were the, I can't remember the first two words that you used, like thoughtful and reflective, but not mindful. You know yourself. It's like, it sounds good. It's actually an editor's voice. Or Steve going, hey, I love it that I'm from last week. I love it that I'm retired and I have this business on the side. It sounds really empowering. That's actually a hidden voice of the editor. It holds those old stories, okay? So I wanna just introduce the concept of editor 101 and editor 201. You hear my university background with this, right? Like first year course and second year course. What do we do when we have the editor? Well, editor 101, and we need both. It's not one is better than the other, or one is the thing that we're ultimately trying to get at and it replaces the other. We need different, I guess I'm gonna tactics with the editor. That's kind of military language. I don't always like that language, but hey, that's how it came to me. So editor 101. So Jasmine could say to herself, to that part of her that is the editor's voice, it's like, I'm thoughtful and reflective, but I'm not mindful. First, she doesn't even recognize that's the editor. It sounds like her highest self speaking a truth and carving out her own company, but it's actually not true. She got to a deeper level of truth, right? So it hides. But then she starts realizing that it's the editor, and she says, editor 101 is just push the editor out the door. Like, just get rid of the editor. It's like, thanks a lot for sharing. You can go out the door now. So she could start even, and the exaggerated version of that might be, you know, calling the editor names even, you know what I mean? So it's like, editor, you know, that's ridiculous. Are you kidding me? Not only am I mindful, but I'm one of the most mindful people around because I do whatever, whatever, whatever. So that idea that I'm only thoughtful and reflective, like, can that's dumb, go away. And I see, you see what I did? Like, I just took that editor and I pushed that editor out the door. Or it could be about Steve. It's like, well, that's a dumb idea. Stop talking about me being retired because it has nothing to do with that, because it's, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Just push that out the door and stick with this now. Editor, you're gone. Sometimes that can be highly effective. I'm making fun of it a little bit. I'm being playful with it. But I'm not saying diss that. It's really important to be able to recognize the editor's voice and go, listen, that's just so not true. It might come up in the form of, well, there's other people in this industry. There's 50 people that, you know, I know personally who are all doing this work. Why should they work with me? No, just let that thought go because blah, 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 right? It can be extremely valuable. And then there's editor, what I like to call editor 201, which is it is a higher level playing with the editor, playing with those old stories. And editor 201 relies on editor 101. If we don't know how to do editor 101, we'll try to do editor 201 and we'll just get all messed up. Okay. So let's say, let me give you an example from Story Freedom a couple of years ago. There was one woman in the room. You don't know who she is. You don't know when, you know, you don't know anything. So I could give this example anonymously. There was one woman in the room who was really disempowered in her company and her life. And she was speaking at one moment, right? Very disempowered. And her attitude was something like this. The editor was like, everybody else is more important than me. I've got to tend to my kids. I've got to tend to everyone else. I don't even like, she was disempowered at every level. You know, I don't have, there's nobody here in this room that is like this, but let me give it because it's a really stark, easy example to give. Okay. And maybe we all have moments like this. There's other people who are better at this, and I've got to, everybody else is more important than me, and I've only got to tend to my kids, and I can't even get a moment to myself. It's impossible, and it will never happen. Like, it was, she was that disempowered. And so editor 101 was really important to say, that's not true. Let go of that thought. What if you could even have one moment to yourself? How empowering could that be? And that changed everything for her. Editor 101. And if we try to go to editor 201, take a look at it and mine it for the gold that's there, transmutation. And all of you should have at least heard that word by now. And we've played with this a little bit. Taking what the editor says and turning it into gold. In that place, she's such a great example for us. She was way too disempowered, and the disempowerment can be sneakier. If we don't know how to do editor 101, if we said, hey, there's a thought there about how you can't have a moment to yourself that's going to empower you, she would just get all tangled up again, all bogged down about, you're right, I have no moment to myself. She couldn't get herself out of that tangle. We have to understand how to let that editor go. And then once we can do that, and we're not believing that editor voice so much anymore, so we're not listening to the surface of things, then we can start to move to editor 201, and we can have more tricks up our sleeve or more tools in our kitchen, tools in our toolbox or ingredients in our kitchen, whatever you want to call it. We have more ways to release the disempowering stories and create empowering stories. Editor 201 is all about not taking the editor at face value, but actually listening to the structure of that editor, because it gives us very specific content about us. We haven't done the work with Jasmine yet, for instance. She said, I'm thoughtful and reflective, but I'm not mindful. If she listens to that voice, there's something that's disempowering that's going to block her company. She wants to let that go first. But now we haven't done the work. We don't know what it is yet. But there's something about that thoughtful and reflective and so on that tells us something that is very Jasmine-like, that is not Barb, that is not Lindsay, that is not Grace. There's something in there that is a gem for her when she knows how to listen to it and how to transmute it. And I gave a couple of quick examples at Story Freedom, but how we do this and where it comes from, we're going to do a deeper dive next time. And also we're going to move into material that follows that either next time or the time after that. What is it that we need underneath us to keep our feet on the ground so that we can actually make use of all this, okay? So we won't do this next week. We'll do this on our next opening call in the series. I think it's 2 weeks later. Look at your calendar. Make sure you've got several copies of it. That's what I follow to know where I'm supposed to be and when. So editor 201. And the last, I think there's just one more piece of groundwork that I want to give you. So we'll be so ready. This will help us too with our virtual retreat next week, and it will help us as we go back to the opening series next time. People in our lives, we have certain preoccupations that are ours. I learned this deeply as a master's student many, many years ago. I was closer to my daughter's age. She's 20 now. And I was studying Virginia Woolf. How many have read anything or know of Virginia Woolf? Raise your hand. Okay, cool. How many of you have no idea what I'm talking about? Be proud, right? Thank you for that. Yay, all right, gives people permission. So she was a British writer, and I was fascinated by how her mind worked because I wanted to understand how minds work. So one of the things I did to do my master's degree was I read pretty well everything she wrote. And one of the things I learned by doing that was that people's minds have preoccupations. One book that looked entirely different from this other book. They were completely different topics, completely, here's a diary entry and here's a novel and here's the thing that she told her husband and here's a speech that she gave and here's, this is for the women's, like she's doing all this different stuff over a lifetime of work. But the more deeply, I went so deeply into what she was doing and how her mind worked, I'm like, oh my God. She's actually the same person over and over and over and over again, but you can't see it when you just look at this piece of this and this piece of this and this piece of this. There is something that is perennially preoccupying her, and she's investigated upside down, backwards, forwards, inside out, something of who she is that's important on this planet. And this matters. It's like we have themes in our lives. We have themes, things that we're drawn to. I don't know, Mary Kay and horses and kindness to animals is going to be there, right? And whether it's in me or not, or Tracy or not, like it might, you know, it's not in the same way as Mary Kay. And I bet there were some traces of that when she was 3 years old. People might not have seen it. So how do we find this? And our editors give us clues, and it's in the things that we, that absolutely that we fall in love with, and it's in the things we hate. We didn't have the scope to talk about the depth of it at Story Freedom. We're gonna do that next call, not next week, but the week after. The things that we absolutely, utterly fall in love with, and the things we absolutely hate. So what I want you to do between now and over the next couple weeks, pay attention to like what moves you so much that it just moves you to tears. Like you just fall in love with the thing. And what is it that pushes your buttons so much that you just want to punch that person, or you want like, or you just feel like pummeling something, or whatever it is, or maybe it's like, because we all have that inside us as human beings, I think, you know, or that just makes you want to like say harsh words to that person, or whatever it is your reaction, right? What is it that moves you? Maybe it's a movie that you've seen and that moves me so much. Maybe there's something that you watch, something at the grocery store, somebody talking to the way they talk to their kid, or how the grocery store clerk handled the groceries. And every single time it's like, you do that in front of me and I'm going to go ballistic. These are keys to who we are, what matters to us as people, and the kind of company that is ours and no one else's to create, that has our unique thumbprint on it, so that we're creating our company and nobody else's. And so we're going to go to that. We might do some pieces of it next week too. We're going to do more of it a couple of weeks from now, but just start noticing. And you can keep a journal about it even. I got to write that down. I told you to do that. Journal. Journal. Because I haven't asked that before. What moves you to tears? What pushes your buttons? It could be in your real life. It could be in books. It could be in movies. Like, just start noticing. And you might have like a page of it. You might have 10 pages of it by the time we meet a couple weeks from now. These are clues to your company and clues to incredible power. Like I say, part of it is being bigger than any obstacle when we understand how this works. All right, so that's my introduction to today's material, which we'll do more of a couple weeks from now. What I want to do right now, because it's time for us to finish off our call, just with a strong reminder, next week, carve out a long time for Quantum Leaps, Create Your Future Story. We heard one example of how that happens when we do create a future story with Lindsay. Like, we created a future story, made it happen in one day, and that was freaking awesome. Not made it happen, allowed it to happen, right? And so how do we do that? For companies, make sure you fill out the survey. It will give us a huge jumping off point. I would do that journaling about what loves, what you love, what pushes your buttons and so on. And then let's just finish off our call today with one aha, one inspired action. What's the thing that is, and then also, you know, this is part of our unique signature. This is the thing that opened for me, which is very different from somebody else, right? They were creating that unique signature all year long in the end of the call. And then we're also gathering up much more of what happened because we only heard what happened for us. You get much richer sense of the call when you hear what all the ahas were across the board. So one aha and one inspired action. So we take it out into the world. And Barb, you're up first. You're up in my top left-hand corner. You're up first. One aha, just one sentence, one inspired action.
Yikes. There's so much today. The blueprint was wonderful. And the storyboard. So I'm going to work through the blueprint.
Great. Fantastic. Love that. And what, that is your inspired action. You're going to work through the blueprint. Thank you, Barb. Perfect. And Jasmine, you're up.
So I'm thinking about the transferring excellence and the positive feedback loop. And I'm realizing how many sort of mindset shifts and smaller blocks that I've had that have sort of unblocked itself this past week since having my really big realization about my ability to be mindful, especially around my business and like writing a sales letter. We did that together and like getting my content out there and getting my membership site ready to sell. And so my inspired action is to recognize that, celebrate it, lean into it, and capitalize on it so that I'm just building momentum as I am unblocking these things that have been holding me back.
Love it. Thank you, Jasmine. And so that is check-offable. So we really know we're bringing it out into the world. I'm going to do this once and then you can repeat it for the rest of your life. But I'm going to recognize it at least once today so you know you've actually done it. I like those things that come, you know, we really know we're bringing it out into the world. And one of the things I want to mention too very briefly is that you're talking about the mindset shifts and these small things. And the more that we build in our companies, this is what I find, it's built in the nuance. There's one tiny little shift that will change everything, and you're paying attention at that level. Great notice. Thank you. Mary Kay, you're up next.
Well, I realized that there's something I teach that I'm not taking into my own business.
Oh, I love it. We teach what we most need to learn and remember, and good. And what is that in a sentence so they can hear it too?
It is, even if you don't know, you can still do something.
Mm-hmm. Love it. Thank you.
And my action is I'm gonna record the talk that I've created from the storyboard.
Great, fabulous action, clear cut, check offable, and very powerful. Yes.
I don't know what I'm gonna do with it, so I'm in the don't know.
Love it, and an illustration of the very thing you spoke of. Thank you, Carly. You're up.
Something simple, but I just heard it in a deeper way today. Just gather your energy so that inspired action can happen. And so
I can't emphasize that enough. Without that, I don't know how to move anything.
Yeah.
There is no empowering story. And then your inspired action.
I'm going to just kind of like look at my weekly calendar, and I'm going to start really putting some space in there for gathering my energy throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Beautiful. Yes. Steve, you're up.
So for me, it was there's more than one way to respond to the editor.
Yes.
You know, my typical response is just say, oh, you're wrong. Get out of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And the thought that there might be something deeper, there might be something beyond that.
You heard that about editor 101, editor 201. Fantastic.
I did.
Thank you.
I did.
And what's your inspired action?
I've got a couple of people that I need to follow up with, from yesterday's networking, people that I've just met that I need to follow up and see if I can get them enrolled in my class that started today.
Love it. Concrete, actionable, clear. Yes, thank you. Grace, you're up.
I'm loving listening to everybody's ahas because I'm learning since I missed a portion of the call. So my action, so what I heard was the transmuting The Dirt to Gold, right? That mm-hmm. piece. And I heard it again. It's now another, the second time I'm hearing it. And the sense of the editor one, editor two, is we can learn even from our editor, right? There's something there for us if we just dig and look for it. And thank so my you. Action is going to be listen to the words of the call I missed.
Perfect. Love it. Yes. Lindsay, you're up.
So my biggest moment today was actually during Shavasana when I was realizing how much I need that quiet time mm-hmm. and how easily annoyed I got when I could hear the roofers next door during Shavasana. Like I could hear their machines start howling and I was like, ah, go away. I just want my quiet time right now. And so I've been telling myself for what, 2-3 weeks since Canada that I'm going to do Shavasana daily and I haven't. And the biggest mm-hmm. problem with that is because I haven't put it on my calendar. So that's my inspired action. I know if I actually put it in my phone calendar to remind me to do it at 9 a.m. every morning when I get home from school pickup, I will make myself do it. Oh. If I don't, then life happens and it doesn't get done. So it's going on my calendar as soon as we're off the phone.
Perfect action of Shavasana and the inspired action blueprint working together. Yes. And then that inspired action to actually do it. So now it can happen from here on that it actually starts making it, the idea of it moves nothing. So actually doing it. Love it. Thank you, Lindsay. All right. Marla, Dottie, I don't know if either of you, I can see you here. I don't know if either of you are in a place where you can speak or not. One of you speak now or forever hold your peace. Okay. So please go and if you have not had a chance yet, go post it in the Facebook forum. And actually, you can go post your ahas. You can go post your inspired actions anytime. Even if you've already said it here, it's a wonderful thing to go and post it. Or maybe you've got a second action or another aha. Keep the conversation going over there in Facebook. Remember, that's like our water cooler, whatever it is. It's where the conversation continues between times. If you want me to see it, tag me and text me. I might not even have been there and then I'll catch up again. But if you want me in there, tag me and text me so that I see it as well. Have a fantastic week, everybody. I will see you for 4 hours next week for our virtual retreat. I cannot wait to share this material with you. Please make sure to do the survey. Please make sure to tell your niece that she has to get married a different day so you can just be there live. Have a fantastic week, everybody. I'll see you all real soon. Bye-bye for now.